brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist who's been in a lot of serious war zones and reported on some of the biggest stories of our time as a Pulitzer Prize winner. He is Chris Hedges, and the website's truthdig.com. He has a new book out that we're going to be breaking down with him today, Days of Destruction, What Days of Revolt. I can't wait to read it. And he's saying, is revolt all we have left? Well, yeah, there are many forms of revolt. I mean, I went into, you know, basically a preaching fit last hour, but it's effective. It shows my desperation. It's almost like my ghost dance here, wishing that we weren't going into such a fascist, corporatist tyranny. But Chris Hedges joins us, one of the few real liberal voices that you can say is respectable and really makes sense and who doesn't compromise. It's very scary to see none of the main conservatives against torture, secret war, the end of the Bill of Rights. And really hardly any liberals. In fact, a lot of them love it because it's empowering their precious state that they don't understand is now a corporate instrument. Chris, we're about to go to break here in a few minutes, but I didn't want to waste any time getting you on. Great to have you here, sir. Tell us a little bit about the new book.
Well, it goes to the sacrifice zones, the poorest pockets of the country that have been forced to kneel before unfettered corporate capitalism, and it's a kind of warning because they went first and we're next as we allow these corporate forces to reconfigure the country into a form of neo-feudalism, an oligarchic state backed by the most intrusive security surveillance apparatus probably in the history of humankind. And I speak as somebody who covered the fall of East Germany. I'm very familiar with the Stasi state. There are no impediments left. So, it looks at places like Camden, New Jersey, which per capita is the poorest city in the United States, not surprisingly, also one of the most dangerous, Pine Ridge, South Dakota, Lakota Indian Reservation, where the average life expectancy for a male is 48. That is the lowest in the Western Hemisphere outside of Haiti, the coal fields of southern West Virginia, one of the most minerally rich pockets of the United States, and yet, of course, harbors the poorest population, along with terrible ecological devastation, and finally the produce fields, where these undocumented workers, who are the perfect worker in the eyes of the corporate state because they have no legal rights, they can be abused, there are no benefits. They work day by day. They show up in collection centers. When they don't have enough work, they sleep out literally under mango trees in Florida. And then we finally end with the Occupy movement, which is, again, with the title of the book, Days of Destruction, Days of Revolt. That first bubbling, I think, of consciousness, of revolt, of a recognition that we have undergone a corporate coup d'etat in slow motion, and it's over. Citizens United probably nailed the last peg in the coffin. And civil disobedience is, I think, all we have left.
Now, we're going to go to break here in a moment and come back and get into your case against the NDAA and all the amazing work you're engaged in and just some of the signposts that we see showing that this, from my view, has been a conscious, Rand Corporation talked about it 15 years ago, construction of a system designed to implode the economy under a feudal system, as you said, using poverty as political control. Because you can say what you want about America and what it's done the last 100 years, but even in the 40s, 50s, 60s, there was a plan to build up the third world and stuff. Now it is, make everybody poor and have private cities the elites live in. I mean, it's such an evil Malthusian view. I want to get your well-traveled expert view on this from your perspective and talk about the book straight ahead after this break. Amazing interview coming up with Chris Hedges, truthdig.com. We'll tell you more about the book, Days of Destruction, Days of Revolt. I'm Alex Jones with InfoWars.com. Alex Jones here with a very important announcement for Truth Seekers. We've carried a lot of amazing films and books over the years on the online video bookstore at InfoWars.com. And out of all the titles we've carried, one stands out because it is just so chillingly convincing. And that's Dreams from My Real Father by Joel Gilbert, available at InfoWars.com. This film exposes the fraud that Obama is like nothing I've seen. If you want to know who Obama's real daddy is, this is the film for you. Don't forget, your purchase supports our broadcast and our growing media network. You'll also find at InfoWarsShop.com, None Dare Call a Conspiracy by Gary Allen, the book that woke me up. We're also carrying Behind the Green Mask, UN Agenda 21, by Rosa Corey. This book is coffin nails to the globalist takeover. The Greater Good, the most professional and up-to-date film I've ever seen, exposing the scourge that is vaccines. These titles and a lot more are all available at InfoWarsShop.com.
I miss going to my grandson's baseball games. I always felt tired. My body felt achy. Feet were always swollen. But since I've discovered Heart and Body Extract, now I won't miss a single game.
There are so many things a person could do if they felt better. And with Heart and Body Extract, you'll have the increased vitality and energy to do those things. Heart and Body Extract is a nutritional supplement and has an exclusive formula of wild-crafted and organic herbs. That's 100% natural with no preservatives. It supports a strong, healthy heart, clean, clear arteries, balanced cholesterol levels, warm hands and feet, and healthy blood pressure and blood sugar levels. Heart and Body Extract has helped many thousands of people worldwide see results in as little as 2 to 3 weeks. So be happy and be healthy and make a difference in your life. To order, visit hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305.
The worst drought in 50 years continues, and the first 6 months of 2012 marks the hottest half year on record. 78% of the Midwest Corn Belt is in drought conditions. Not only corn, but soy, alfalfa, fruits, vegetables, and wheat are all impacted, raising prices. The cost to feed livestock is forcing farmers and ranchers out of business, blowing up your food prices. The only strategy to counter this is to freeze your food cost at today's prices by getting your own supply of foods from eFoods Direct now. As the price of raw ingredients increases, eFoods will have to raise prices too. Now is the time to get your supply. I recently increased my supply from eFoods Direct because we've all known this was coming. You know about their delicious long-term storable foods. The fact is you can eat it any time to save money today. And because it stores for 25 years, you're locking in today's prices and avoiding the rising food costs. Don't wait. Call 800-409-5633 or go to eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. Call 800-409-5633 or eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. You can bet your life on eFoods Direct.
You are either with the Republic or against it. Resistance to tyrants is obedience to God. It's Alex Jones.
That's right, and it was Thomas Jefferson that said, resistance to tyrants is obedience to God. Many other founders said similar things. But the point is that we are going into a classical tyranny. No one can deny it. The NSA has been caught spying on everyone in live time, totally illegal. They're arresting people, torturing their children in front of them at Abu Ghraib. Bush brags about it in his book and doesn't get in trouble, even though his minions went to jail. And now Obama has accelerated it, and Romney signals he's going to accelerate it. We're in deep trouble. We've got an amazing guest joining us, Pulitzer Prize winning journalist who has covered, you name it, the Stasi, the Russians, and many tyrannies. He's been in high-level coverage of negotiations all over the Middle East, and he sued earlier this year over the NDAA that Obama signed on December 31st when he thought no one was paying attention, 2011. He has a new book just out, Days of Destruction, Days of Revolt. We're going to talk about that. We've only got him to the bottom of the hour. He's, again, gracious to join us, a very busy man. And I want to talk about his NDAA suit that's having some success. I want to get his take on everything that's unfolding. But now we have activists put on terror watch lists preventing protesting DNC. Turned out the Army, the ACLU, there's the ACLU press release just out yesterday on it. They got the document where the Army, DOD, did it. And they say in here that it's low-level terrorism to protest. and ask the court to keep him in jail because protesting is now illegal. We are seeing, again, the FBI caught with 12 million IDs of folks with Apple computers. Here joining us to break it down is Chris Hedges, who I don't really need to go over more of his bio here. Most people know who he is or should know who he is, but he joins us now. Chris, what is the state of the world in your view?
Well, I think, one of the things we have to be clear about is that the assault on civil liberties, which began under the Bush administration, has in fact been accelerated by the Obama administration. It's worse under Obama than under Bush. When you tick off all of the things that the Obama administration has done over the last 4 years, refusal to restore habeas corpus, interpretation of the 2001 Authorization to Use Military Force Act as giving the executive branch the right to assassinate American citizens, whatever you think of these figures, like Anwar al-Awlaki, the Yemeni cleric, and then, of course, his 16-year-old son, who was never accused of anything 2 weeks later. The FISA Amendment Act, which I'm one of the plaintiffs, but will be heard in the Supreme Court on October 29th, which retroactively made legal what under our Constitution has always been illegal, the warrantless wiretapping, monitoring, and eavesdropping of tens of millions of American citizens who have done nothing, been charged with no crime, and we know that all of our personal information is now being stored out in supercomputers in Utah. The Obama administration has also employed six times the Espionage Act, which was never designed to ferret out whistleblowers as they are using it. These are people who have exposed war crimes. In the case of the CIA official Sterling, who purportedly leaked this information to Jim Risen at the New York Times, he's used it to essentially shut down anything that counters the official government narrative. And I was an investigative reporter for the New York Times. I know many of the major investigative reporters, and they will tell you that at this point, investigating anything the government does has become impossible. Even on background briefings will no longer be given because people are scared of being charged with the Espionage Act, as six officials have been charged, which, of course, brings with it prison time. And this brings us to the National Defense Authorization Act, which, as you mentioned, Alex, was signed by the president on December 31st, New Year's Eve, of course, a moment when he thought we weren't looking. Now, the National Defense Authorization Act, Section 1021, authorizes the U.S. government, or more specifically the executive branch, to condemn or label an American citizen a terrorist, and not only a terrorist, but in the language of that section, someone who has relationships with what they call associated forces, a term that's never defined. To use the military, this is contravening 200 years of domestic law, to detain these people, hold them in military facilities, strip them of due process, and if the military so determines, actually ship them to offshore penal colonies like Guantanamo and other black sites around the world, in the language of this section, until the end of hostilities, whenever that is. In an age of permanent war, that's a very long time. We challenged that in the Southern District Court of New York. Federal Judge Catherine Forrest issued a temporary injunction, in essence invalidating that section of the NDAA. We had a final hearing the beginning of August, and in which Judge Forrest will now determine whether that temporary injunction will become permanent. But we know how the Obama administration will respond if she invalidates that section of the NDA, which, of course, I think she should. They've already challenged the temporary injunction. They will clearly challenge the permanent injunction if she rules that it is unconstitutional, as it appears she will. That will take it to an appellate court. If they uphold the ruling, it will go to the Supreme Court. But all of this comes under the Obama administration. And my frustration with self-professed liberals is that, they're entranced with the rhetoric of Obama and utterly ignore the facts, utterly ignore what he has done. And as you mentioned earlier, I think what we are seeing is, in essence, a rewriting of the legal code to criminalize any form of legitimate dissent. And that's because the corporate state, corporate power understands very well what's coming, both in terms of the environmental crisis and the economic crisis, and they want the legal mechanisms to shut it down. You know, it's interesting that in the August, in the last hearing in Judge Forrest's courtroom, she, as the judge, actually brought up the detention of 110,000 Japanese Americans who, you know, because of their ethnicity, were sent to internment camps, again, without any kind of legal recourse, and said that this section of the NDA essentially sets that precedent.
We are now reaching the Alexander Solzhenitsyn-type moment, asking, will we burn later in the camps, wishing we'd done something? And now, 3 months ago, the Army document came out for re-education centers. The Army admitted in a press release that our document was real, but that we shouldn't have it. In another public document for gun confiscation during crises, they're buying armored vehicles. They've bought 1.4 billion rounds of ammo. The media spins it to say, hey, they need 174,000 rounds of ammo. No, it's 1.4 billion. So we're seeing all sorts of propaganda. Pulitzer Prize-winning investigative journalist who's covered police states worldwide, Chris Hedges, joins us. We're going to talk about his book here in a moment. We're going to skip this network break so we have more time with him. What is the ruling class thinking? Because we've always had different corrupt elites and things, but there was still an understanding, even for the ultra-wealthy and powerful, that you want checks and balances going back to Magna Carta, because other elites can come in and rob you, and that nobody wants to live in a society that's not free. I mean, free societies are more productive, they're happier, they're better. What has happened to the ruling class that they're going, I mean, the Stalin, Mao, Hitler route? I mean, this is, I mean, earlier in the shorter segment, I'd like you to recap that. You pointed out you've covered a lot of historical events that happened as they happened. This is one of the nastiest, most scientifically crafted, over the top. I mean, so many things that are in 1984 have now been surpassed. And now they're getting ready for the physical roundups. I don't think people understand, who haven't looked at history like you and others have, just how dark it is my point.
Yeah, I mean, in the language of patriotism, these people are traitors. And that's the difference, as you point out, between the older ruling elite, and I come out of the working class, they were certainly no friends to working men and women, frankly, but they cared about the sustenance of the nation. The new ruling elite is global. It, in the language of business, is quite willing to harvest the nation. That's how you've seen manufacturing jobs shipped overseas. And you look at labor conditions in southern China where Apple products, I mean, all sorts of products that we buy are made, and it's out of Dickinsonian England. You know, 70-hour work weeks, abusive conditions, you know, no labor protection. And what they tell now workers around the world is that in order to be competitive, they have to be competitive, in essence, with prison labor in China or sweatshop workers in Bangladesh who make 22 cents an hour.
Exactly. We're Foxconn that Apple uses, while we're being lectured by Al Gore here domestically, they have to put suicide nets up.
Yeah. You know, what happens is when they don't meet their quotas, and there's a good book by a Berkeley sociologist who's of Chinese origin who went and wrote about it, wrote about these conditions. When they don't meet their quotas and they don't make the profits, there are workers who will work and actually not be paid. And at the end of the month, they will climb up to the roofs of these overcrowded dormitories and jump off and commit suicide. And that's the world that these corporations have created. I mean, and that's the difference between the old robber barons, the Rockefellers, the Mellons, the Carnegies, and the new robber barons, who are quite willing to sacrifice the nation, indeed are, for profit. When they do their speculative gambling on Wall Street, and their bubbles crash, they loot the U.S. Treasury, and then they make the rest of us pay for it through austerity programs. You see the same thing in Europe, because, of course, it's a global corporate movement, so that when Papandreou in Greece announces, okay, you want austerity, I'm going to put it to a referendum, he's gone within a week, and he's replaced with a banker technocrat that is essentially pliable and a puppet of the banks and of the corporate interests. This is a global oligarchic corporate forces, then we'd see it. You know, they make all their money here, and then they move overseas so they don't have to pay any taxes.
Well, they're moving to armored redoubts on Pacific Islands and admitting they are, and they're bragging that they're converting us to a tyranny and training the police that we're their enemy. I mean, this is a nightmare scenario, and the attitude is Americans are uppity. We're going to bring you down. We're going to cut you down to size while lecturing people who are on welfare because they've destroyed the jobs base while they are the biggest recipients of corporate welfare contracts, bailouts. And then in Europe, I've looked at the numbers, almost all of the real debt is owed by the big zombie banks, and they've done this trick of convincing everyone that the Europeans are lazy, and now today they're reporting that they want Greeks to work six-day work weeks, and then most of the money is to be paid to the bankers that Greece is having to hand their islands over to.
Yeah, well, that's precisely it. And, you know, that they will, corporations know only one word, and that's more. And they are going to push and push and push, you know, like all sort of elites that have unplugged themselves from the reality around them. They're woefully out of touch with what most Americans are undergoing. And it is always the ruling elites that finally determine the parameters and configurations of revolt and rebellion. And, you know, they, because they have not responded rationally, as the columnist Paul Krugman writes week after week, to both the economic and political crisis, it means that there will be a backlash. What exactly it will look like, how it will appear, when it will appear, I don't know. I've covered, you know, revolutions in Eastern Europe, uprisings in Palestine, the war in Yugoslavia. But I do know, especially having spent the last 2 years on this book, in the poorest pockets of the United States, without any question, that is coming.
And the establishment knows that and is making preparations for it, I think, to use that crisis as a pretext to grab even more power. If you expand on this out into the future, what type of world do you think the ultra-rich, who are obviously monopoly capitalists, what type of world are they planning on building?
In essence, a kind of feudal system where you have a tiny, filthy rich oligarchic elite, a small sort of core of corporate managers, public relations people, in essence, propagandists, and then the rest of us hanging on by our fingertips. And, you know, interestingly enough, this completely replicates the political and economic structure that Orwell painted in 1984 with Oceania, where you had an inner party of 2-4%, an outer party of about 12%, and the rest are what he calls proles. That's already, I mean, all you have to do is look out your window at a decaying infrastructure, closing schools, closing fire departments, you know, closing libraries, long-term unemployment and underemployment, coupled with, you know, this kind of constant sustenance of criminal enterprise. I mean, look at Goldman Sachs. Goldman Sachs is bailed out every penny on the dollar by the American taxpayer, and now we give them, in essence, 0% interest loans so that they can gamble. I don't know what it is. It's not capitalism. I don't even know what to call it.
And then to loan it back to us at 10, 20, 30 or more percent.
Well, and they often don't loan. Talk to any small businessman. They can't get loans. I mean,
and why should the banks loan? They've got all the money they could ever want, taxpayer-backed money. Expanding on this, I went and saw Dinesh D'Souza's film, the 2016 Obama's America, and they were saying that Obama was anti-colonialist when really I see this as a new colonialism where it's these mega banks and mega elites that are destroying the nation states that were the old cores of the empire, not just exploiting the third world. They've brought the cancer home, but then they spin it that Obama is an anti-colonialist. And so that's why he's doing what he's doing. I mean, it's an amazing spin.
Yeah, I would agree with you. And, you know, we actually call the places that, you know, places like Camden internal colonies because it is a form of colonialism. And, you know, just to go back to your point earlier about the militarization of police, you know, I think when you look at the war on so-called war on drugs, you see the portal, the way they entered it, so that if there's a night raid now in Oakland, you have Kevlar-plated command helicopters, command centers, people dressed in black, carrying M-16s. It looks no different. difference from a night raid in Fallujah. And that's the point, that as the disintegration continues, the more brutal forms of control that are used on the outer reaches of empire migrate back to the heart of empire.
And the megacorporations then plan to even implode the old homelands and then just have a giant squalor that they rule over from private, heavily armed redoubts and cities. And that's now even their admitted plan, the RAND Corporation is saying. What a hellish vision. What a hellish world. It sounds like something the devil would come up with.
Yeah, and you have corporations like Bechtel buying up all the clean water in Chile and other places because they know that pretty soon water, water for most of us will be contaminated and we'll have to pay for it, just like everything else. Yeah, I mean, they, you know, if you sit down inside the NSA or any other, their sort of analysis of where we're going is not going to be much different from yours or mine. It just doesn't make it out into the mainstream.
Well, that's right. They've got British Ministry of Defense reports, Pentagon reports, admitting a hellish world. And then if I cover it, the media calls it pessimism porn. Won't this be the defining moment when your case goes to the Supreme Court if they don't uphold the Constitution? I mean, this will be overthrowing Magna Carta, habeas corpus. I mean, this is probably one of the biggest cases ever. What is it like to be at the center of this?
Well, it's sort of bizarre in a sense because I agree with you. I mean, it is, and the judge agrees with us, that this is just this amazing attempt to essentially strip us of the rule of law, of due process, and yet it doesn't get covered. It doesn't get covered because both the Republicans and the Democrats are essentially beholden to corporate power and the security and surveillance state. I mean, this was a bipartisan effort sponsored by Carl Levin and John McCain. And so because the media won't step outside these very narrow parameters, which essentially stretch from A to B, that's what stunned me the most, how egregious the assault is, how naked the assault is, and how it's virtually uncovered. I mean, the New York Times did write a good editorial about it after the temporary injunction was issued, but, if you look on the airwaves, it doesn't exist. And yet you have all these people sort of shouting about the Constitution and civil liberties and here in an incredibly overt attempt to take away, our right to trial, it's silence.
And now I see a lot of conservatives going along with this when the government's now said, don't worry about Al-Qaeda, and we're going to use them and others to take down Syria and Libya and places. But, you know, the new enemy is domestic threats, and they're out, like they've done with Muslims, provocateuring, you know, militia groups in Michigan and things, trying to get some type of civil war going so they can now target the American people as the enemy. This is very cold-blooded.
I don't think it is a left-right issue. The American conservative just ran a long article called In Defense of Bradley Manning, raising precisely these points. And that's why I think that, you know, the political theater of the Republicans and the Democrats, is really a kind of a mass money-drenched spectacle that diverts us from debating issues that I don't think, for anybody who cares about the rule of law and the democratic state, no matter what your political opinion is, there should be any divide on it all.
Well, that's right. We're all Americans. We're all humans. And if America becomes this pure tyranny, boy, the world better look out. If they think we've been doing bad stuff so far, Chris, look out. You know, I know you've got to go. I'll talk to you briefly during the break if you can stay five more. I want to come back and talk about the book, but if not, folks.
No, sure. Let's do it.
Okay, Days of Destruction, Days of Revolt. I have not read it yet. I will read it because, let me tell you, when I see Chris Hedges' videos online, he's focused. He knows what he's talking about. He's articulate. I get mad and just yell and scream. I wish I was like him. But then I'm just a constitutionalist. I want my Bill of Rights. I want my Constitution. If that's liberal, if that's conservative, then that's what I am. But I just love Chris Hedges, and he's so good to come on and talk about this with us. We'll be right back to talk about his book for a few minutes. Stay with us.
We're on the march. The Empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
For more than 6 years, I've talked on the air about creating a social network. PlanetInfoWars.com is in its beta phase. We're just launching it. And I want to invite all of you out there to be in on the ground level. Planet InfoWars is about people coming together, forming activist organizations, getting involved politically, hunting and fishing, gardening, dating. This is a place for people who love freedom to meet and to talk and to write and to post information. And I give you this pledge. We are not going to spy on you and sell your data to the New World Order. PlanetInfoWars.com is free, so people who love freedom can get together. Connect with people who are awake and know what we're facing. Be active. Organize. Take action. Go viral. Create. Contribute. Resist. Because resistance is victory. You are victory. It's waiting for you to breathe power into it. PlanetInfoWars.com.
My name is Angie, and ever since my daughter had alternating diarrhea and constipation, she suffered from hair loss, listlessness, and was stunted in her growth. After getting her onto two supplements suggested by naturopath Stephen Huer, she has improved dramatically. Her stools have normalized, her hair and her body are growing again, and she is beaming. I credit the majority of her improvement to One World Whey.
Children love the taste of One World Whey, and their growing bodies are getting nature's best source of protein. Evidence shows that non-denatured whey protein powder is a better source of protein than meat, milk, or eggs. If you have finicky children and you want a protein that will support their growth, energy, and healthy brain function, One World Whey is a must for you to try. Kids prefer it over junk food. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
He paid his way through college as a handyman, growing that small business into the largest construction company in the state with 1,000 employees and a reputation for ethical behavior. During his 2 terms as governor, he did what people in office rarely do. He kept his word. He vetoed wasteful spending 750 times, cut taxes 14 times. He left the people of his state with hundreds of miles of new highways, new schools and bridges, improved state services, a balanced budget, and a $1 billion surplus. He's fiscally conservative and socially cool. His name is Gary Johnson. Gary Johnson can fix the America the two-party system has broken. He's a handyman.
My name is Gary Johnson. Be libertarian with me for one election. Live free.
Gary Johnson, Libertarian for President.
I'm Gary Johnson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Gary Johnson, 2012.
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
Okay, we've got about 6-7 minutes left with Mr. Hedges holding over with us, Pulitzer Prize winning author, journalist who's covered some of the most dangerous places in the world, and he's saying that, well, what he sees here in America, I want him to expand on that, is the worst he's ever seen so far. I want him to elaborate on that because it's intriguing. If I went over his bio here for folks that may not know who Chris Hedges is. He's been in over 50 countries. He's covered the big battle zones. He's covered world leaders. He's covered the Stasi and their activities. Just amazing. And he's got a new book out that we're going to be obviously breaking down as soon as I get a chance to read it. Days of Destruction, Days of Revolt. But I wanted him to go over basically what the book covers, because earlier he started mentioning that it's a reservation program. And I've interviewed a lot of Native Americans who've gone over the history. And they point out that Indian policy became what Hitler used. And I'd actually read that in Hitler's own writings, that he used that model of the concentration camp off the reservation. The company store that keeps control of the people, keeps them in poverty, their life expectancy, and that's the whole model now of this corporate state. Get rid of your jobs and then give you a pittance to barely even keep you at subsistence. Destroying destinies, destroying societies, so you can control them. And now the corporate state doesn't want even free market competition. It's coming in with regulations shutting down what's left of our industry. I mean, it's a cold-blooded, systematic, military-style takeover. So, Chris, break down your new book, which I can't wait to read, Days of Destruction, Days of Revolt.
Well, yeah, I mean, Alex, I think you nailed it. I mean, that's why we begin with Pine Ridge, because that's where it all began. And originally, you know, those reservations were openly called prisoner of war camps. And you're right. They make self-sufficiency impossible and create this kind of culture of dependence, which destroys dignity, self-worth, community, with all of the attendant problems. That's why you have an 80% estimated, 80% alcoholism rate on Pine Ridge. And everywhere we went, whether it was Camden, whether it was southern West Virginia, where people are taking Oxycontin, what they call hillbilly heroin, the drugs and the alcohol anesthetize people to the kind of pain and the suffering to which they have been reduced. And I think the reservation model is, in fact, one that we spent a lot of time reporting on and looking at for precisely that reason. You know, when you reduce people to a level of desperation, it becomes far easier to control them. And that's what we're seeing. I mean, you know, just all sorts of, just in the last few weeks, the refusal to restore unemployment benefits for hundreds of thousands of Americans, which means tens of thousands of these people will eventually lose their homes, a number now over 6 million. You know, there's just Obamacare is another example. It's a corporate, essentially the equivalent of the bank bailout bill for the pharmaceutical and insurance industries, $477 billion in subsidies. And of course, they can keep, as anyone such as myself knows who doesn't have a company plan, keep jacking up co-payments and premiums.
And I've got to interrupt. See, you're the only scholar out there on the so-called left, but you're just a human who wants freedom, who's honest that the insurance companies wrote it, and then the right wing gives Obama cover and goes, how dare you want to make us commies, when the whole thing was written to let corporations control the quality of care, make you buy their product, and right, jack up the price. I mean, it's such a fraud, but then you've got all the people on the left who mean well, supporting it through ignorance.
Yeah, it is. I mean, you know, this is, I think, a very telling piece of legislation because it was written in the Heritage Foundation. It was first put into practice by Mitt Romney when he was governor in 2006 in Massachusetts, and then adopted by Barack Obama.
Incredible.
Obamacare is Obamacare, and that is a kind of window into the kind of false debates that go back and forth because both of these two political parties, you know, are slavishly devoted to corporate interests. Obamacare is essentially forcing us to buy a defective corporate product, a for-profit product. It's staggering.
And what is the revolt angle of the book? Because, again, I haven't had a chance to read it yet. I'm going to order it today.
I think it's just this understanding that the formal mechanisms of power are not going to defend civil liberties or our interests or institute the kinds of reforms that will bring back the kind of egalitarian society that I think we all want, that now resistance has to come outside those formal mechanisms of power. That means acts of civil disobedience. I was arrested with Occupy protesters in front of Goldman Sachs, going to jail is more time than I care to donate to the federal government. But I don't think we have any option left. And I'm not naive enough to even promise you that it will work. But I can tell you that the system is so corrupt. You know, you take New York City police and you look closely, most of the egregious assaults against protesters were carried out by the white-shirted officers who are earning about $110,000 a year. There was a lot of fraternization with the blue uniform police because these corporations hire them, like Goldman Sachs and Citibank, as rent-a-cops for private security for $37 an hour in their off time so they can make some money.
Well, Goldman Sachs gave them, what was it? It was some giant amount of money the week before as a pure gift right to the police, a public bribe.
Yeah, J.P. Morgan, I think it was.
Yeah, J.P. Morgan. It was
right, exactly. I mean, and I think, you know, when I covered the fall of East Germany, what happens is when the foot soldiers are no longer willing to defend the elite, You know, when Erich Honecker, the dictator in East Germany, sent down an elite paratroop division to Leipzig, where I was, and they wouldn't fire on the crowd, Honecker lasted another week in power. And I think that, part of the reason I'm guessing that the NDAA was pushed through, I think, is because there's a kind of fear among these corporate oligarchs that the police won't protect them.
Well, that's one of my final questions here. I got a few to race through. I want to know what else is in the book so people will definitely get it, because your ideas are right on from my own research, but so well laid out. That was my next issue. I'll guarantee you that if things continue to implode, the people they know that aren't going to shut up and go along are people like Chris Hedges, people like Alex Jones, people that they know are controlled by conscience, not because I'm some goody two-shoes, but because I don't want to live in a fascist state. I mean, I want my children to have a future. And they're really trying to set the precedent for this as they force people into a revolt, kind of arresting and, which they admit, scooping up people that they see as leaders.
Yeah. I mean, I think that once you create that legal mechanism that essentially permits or gives to the state that kind of power, then you're in really serious trouble. They use it on marginal elements within the society first, Muslims, black bloc anarchists, whatever, militia members, but you don't want to give them that kind of legal power, which we unfortunately we've already done, because they use the sort of fringe elements as a way to justify that kind of power, and then they turn it on the rest of us. That's exactly right, and history has just borne that out, you know, in conflict after conflict that I've covered and watched.
What about geopolitically? It seems like the world is kind of waking up to the fact that the United States has been seized by very evil forces.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I was quite an opponent of the invasion of Iraq on that issue, and I had been the Middle East bureau chief for the New York Times, because, you know, it was not only a tactical blunder, but probably one of the most strategic blunders we made, in essence, throwing the balance of power to Iran. I think that, unfortunately, you know, we don't have a lot of friends left because of, I think, very misguided imperial projects again, of course, I mean, the war in Afghanistan, which, let's be frank, we're losing. There are a handful of corporations, Halliburton and Raytheon and on and on and on, that for whom this they make money, as in all wars.
Could the Anglo-American establishment kind of stall and not have a Berlin Wall moment, but just kind of collapse like the Soviet Union?
I mean, that's the big question. I mean, collapse is coming. How does it come? Does it come gradually? Is there kind of a slow decline like the Ottoman Empire? Does it implode? These are questions that I ask all the time, but I don't have a definitive answer.
Well, I think they're going to try to go Hitler crazy and launch a bunch of wars that are so bad, everybody kind of lines up because we're in so much trouble. Well, yeah, the government's corrupt, but we're fighting Russia and China now, so let's line up. We just lost 500,000 people. I mean, I think the elite are that crazy. And the way they're digging in, the way they're getting everything ready, looks like they're gearing up for World War III at a scale much bigger than the Cold War. The COG, the armored pillboxes, the weapons caching. Studying history, Chris, in closing, I'm not just trying to be a fearmonger here. I'm scared. I mean, I've studied history. I'm a history buff. And they're digging in for what looks like not just a war with the people, but a war with everybody else.
Well, you know, that's as Randolph Bourne said. In World War One, he said war is the health of the state, by which he meant that when the state declares war, you're right, everybody lines up behind it, you know, in the name of patriotism and everything else, and it is a very effective measure, as it was in World War One, to essentially crush any form of dissent. So, yeah, you're right. I mean, history has shown that to be a very effective tactic for despotic states to channel energy and rage and mute internal dissent by creating an internal enemy and going after it. I don't put it past them.
Well, hopefully your book will wake people up, and I know it's got amazing illustrations in it. Tell us a little bit about the book that you haven't covered and about the cartoonist that you worked with.
Yeah, this is Joe Sacco, who is an amazing reporter in his own right, does whole graphic novels that he reports out. We met in Bosnia in 1995. And I think one of the reasons I found him so important in the book, 50 pages of illustrations, as well as comic panels sort of profiling people's lives, is that so many of these Americans by the corporate media have been rendered invisible. And I think one of the goals of the book was to make them visible, and Sacco did that, gave the book a kind of punch that pure prose wouldn't have had.
Do you have hope for the future? I mean, would you say it's a 60% chance we're going to go into this total tyranny, or is it a 70% or a 20%? I mean, what's your... there's few people who've traveled more, seen more, reported on more. So I really respect your view on this. I know our listeners do. If, I mean, looking into that crystal ball, what's our odds?
I think it looks pretty bleak, but I don't think we can use the word hope unless we actively resist every way possible, you know, which is why, you know, I was in protests outside Goldman Sachs, why I sued Barack Obama and Leon Panetta over the NDAA. I think there's a kind of moral imperative to resist. But at the same time, you know, a very sort of sober view, it doesn't look great.
Have you been threatened?
Yeah, but over my opposition to the Iraq war and then, interestingly, by black anarchists, who I've been very critical of.
Well, most of them are run by feds. Well, Chris Hedges. Oh, yeah. I mean, that's what I found from my research.
I'm sure.
Your website is also a great place for people to visit. Tell us about your website.
Truthdig, yeah. This is Bob Shear's website out of L.A. I write a column every Monday for them.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Chris.
Thank you, Alex.
All right. There he goes. I ended up spending more time with us. Man, I wish he was wrong. I wish I was wrong. You know, last hour I kind of went into this ranting rage about the tyranny we face. But, I mean, I bet my family that we can beat this. I mean, let me tell you, if I didn't think we could turn this around, I would leave the United States. Not that somewhere else would be perfect, but I would get out of the fight. Because let me tell you something. The people running things have made a friend with evil. They have decided that they're going to rule the world. They've got the power. They've got this historic moment. They're going to use it. And we've got to decide, we've got our historic moment as human beings that stand for freedom and justice to resist these people. Because, you know, Chris Hedges talks about how they want to render us impotent and where we can't have jobs in the future. That is the policy of the globalist. And, you know, Obama is not anti-colonialist. Colonialism became what you call globalist. And then the right wing packages anti-colonialist as communist, when the communists are actually running their own form of collectivist colonialism that then implodes and is taken over by the bankers. I mean, we're facing such a sophisticated situation. You know, people say, well, are you for Occupy or against it? The globalists talked about Occupy because their computers were able to predict that there would be flare-ups at that moment against the banks, and that people knew that the banker bailouts were a corporate transference of wealth from the people to the elite. Just a robbery, a private taxation mechanism. So they announce, everybody who's mad at corruption in Wall Street, show up. Then the Democratic operatives show up, but a lot of other activists as well. Soros is unable to take control of it. That was going to be kind of the revolutionary arm of the Obama second election. But with the corporatists running it, the Occupy folks got wise to that, didn't work, so then they flushed them. And Obama, in what, 37 locations nationwide and in multiple, you know, a whole bunch of states, 14 states, had people arrested in midnight raids directed by the feds. Folks, when your police are being directed by feds to scoop up protesters, you're not in Kansas anymore. You're in a dangerous police state. And what people don't get is, well, I don't care if I'm in a police state. I want cops and guys with machine guns on every corner because it's for Al-Qaeda. But see, it's not for Al-Qaeda now. It's for you. And it's because they're planning to take your bank account, they're planning to devalue your dollar, they're planning to take your pension fund, and I don't mean the government pension fund. I'm talking about your private ones. They're already doing that in Europe, putting taxes on them and stuff. I mean, I've got financial news on Europe I'm going to get to after, I guess Dr. Stallman's joining us. I'm almost out of time. Where is my financial stack? I mean, let me just hit a few of these right now. This is so serious. Folks, and for the minions that are serving this, we're not coming back from this, okay? You notice the deeper we get into globalism, NAFTA, GATT, any of it, things get worse. Because it's meant to be bad. If they write white papers on it. It's horrible. It's not my opinion we're signing on to evil. It's happened. The same Robert Barron families funded Hitler. Okay, we're in trouble. These elites put Mao into power because they wanted to have a strong guy take over. Our government put Mao Zedong into power. That's been declassified for about 10 years. I just got chills saying that. Do you realize under globalist funding, he killed the Chinese, say, 85 million people? The CIA says 64 million? Man, they aren't playing games. They want to reorganize and kind of erase the disc, clear the table in America and Europe. And they are lining up the troops and the military to do it. And they're going to do most of it with starvation. And, man, I just don't want to go down this road. I mean, they've got America in the guillotine. And I'm saying, let's get our head out of here. And let's get our neck out of this thing. Let's wake up and say no. No, no, no.
Aaron Fullen here. As the food police shut down food co-ops, the Amish and small farmers, Americans are losing access, not just to raw milk and homemade cheeses, but to healthy, home-crafted sources for fermented foods like sauerkraut, yogurt, and kefir. It seems there's a war on life-giving foods with living enzymes and healthy bacteria. But frankly, I'm not sure what the food police are so afraid of. These remarkable foods have been around since the beginning of history, with archaeological evidence for fermented foods and beverages being found across the globe in almost every culture. Even today, Japanese eat miso, Africans eat fermented porridges, Koreans eat kimchi, and in India, fermented milk is a staple for healthy living. But here's some good news. Self-reliant Americans can now discover the secrets to making these amazing fermented foods legally and privately in their own homes. Since it's still legal to make these foods as long as you can make them yourself. For more information, check out fermentationfactor.com. That's fermentationfactor.com. It's easy to create your own powerful fermented foods, and you can do it by going to www.fermentationfactor.com. That's www.fermentationfactor.com.
What's the difference in all these online emergency food stores? The difference is Deseret. DeseretFoodStores.com has the best price on a one-year supply of restaurant-style gourmet food starting at just $695 for 875 servings. For the highest quality food with a 30-year shelf life, experience the Deseret difference at DeseretFoodStore.com, spelled D-E-S-E-R-E-T, or call 801-444-1444. DeseretFoodStore.com. Food for now, food for life.
In a coming apart world, you need something to keep it tied together. That something is Atwood Rope, the highest quality rope made in the USA from exotic braids for military, rescue, arborists, shipyards, towline, or boating. Quality rope at affordable prices you and your customers can depend on. Find a dealer or shop online at atwoodrope.net. Enter promo code RADIO to receive 100 feet of 550 paracord free with purchase. Atwood Rope, working to keep the world tied together.
Hello, this is Ty Bollinger, author of the best-selling book, Cancer, Step Outside the Box. I want you to know some very important information. In 1985, President Ronald Reagan requested that Carnivora be sent directly to the White House at a time when only the president could obtain this world-class healer. Now, 27 years later, Carnivora capsules are used around the world to keep people healthy. Now you can protect yourself and your loved ones in this age of superbugs with 17 naturally occurring compounds that instinctively respond to abnormal cells only without harming a single normal cell. If you want to stay healthy, now's your chance to literally wake up your critical immune cells to attack harmful invaders that don't belong in your body. Call 1-866-VENUS-FLY or order from carnivora.com. That's carnivora.com. That's 1-866-836-8735, 1-866-VENUS-FLY, or visit carnivora.com. Protect your immune system. It's the only one you've got.
Well, you just heard a Pulitzer Prize-winning top journalist tell you we're going into absolute hell. And I have all the documents. I should have brought this up to him. It'll be about eugenics, about how they would give the blankets with smallpox and poisoned food and water to the natives to make them weak. They'd kill the strongest members. They'd kill people that tried to lead. And again, that was done to a minority. That's how cultures always do it. But then it ends up getting exported onto everybody. And now the troops have their death benefits that they take part of their check out of if they sign on to it and just steal it. And it was in Bloomberg and AP a couple times 2 years ago and never again. It's like, yeah, we take the death benefits of vets from World War II right through to the current conflict. Yeah, we run a scam on them. And yeah, the big banks launder the drug money and run the aircraft. And yeah, the troops grow the opium. And yeah, the troops are dying and have all these increased cancers and their kids are deformed from DEU. But so what? Hey, did we tell you we're going to forcibly shoot your kids up in school? And make them, have abortions and say that they gave consent at 12 to have an abortion because we threw them in a truck and took them and had them sign a form. I mean, the government is just power grabbing, and it's moving faster and faster, and I'm sitting there watching it happen. I look at my kids, and I look back at America, and then I look at my kids, and I'm like, do I get out of here? I've said I'm going to stay to the end. These people don't understand what they're up against. Because if we knew what we were up against, we would say no. If you knew how bad it was, the danger is letting this win. People think, oh, it's dangerous to fight this. No, 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 no. Yeah, for people like me, sure. But for you, the danger is in going along with it. I mean, if I was a cop and there was somebody filming me down the street, it's something I was doing, I wouldn't run over and arrest them. You know that's the First Amendment. You know they're not a terrorist. Shame on you. You take their right away, you're going to get yours taken away, you idiots. You idiots. Do you have any idea what you're doing? How much danger going along with these orders is putting everybody in? And it's so planned. It's all in the Rand Corporation public documents. I remember reading Rand Corporation stuff in 98, 99, where there will soon be a giant terror attack. We will radically re-engineer America. Prepare for the attack. This will happen after the attack. And it was clear they were saying that it was going to be staged. But that was a good thing. And I'm just like, what? Hey, everybody, they're going to stage terror. They've done it before. Look, look. Now look what happened. See, they did it. Moody's lowers outlook. And you're like, our government did it? Yeah, the criminal elements that run our government and run Al-Qaeda did it. Yeah, you bet they did. And your naivete doesn't protect you. It endangers you. It allows this to happen. Moody's lowers outlook for European Union's credit rating to negative. Well, I mean, but I thought they gave the foreign bankers all their money. That would fix it. Oh, as I told you, it's only going to get worse because it's designed to. And then they always pose as the savior. Breakdown. 3 tons of food looted from grocery stores in Spain as millions struggle. Yeah, they're still getting their welfare checks, but their currency doesn't buy it anymore. Food stamp use climbs to record, reviving campaign issue, 46.7 million. That's only one type. It's more like 70 million are on partial food stamps. Let's continue. Chart of the day, 803 years of global inflation, 803 years of global inflation. And it shows how there's been as much inflation in the last 100 years as there had been in the 800, 900 years previous. There's no inflation. Continuing here with the news, ladies and gentlemen. EU says Greeks should work 6 days a week. CNBC, yeah, because they're lazy. Most of that debt's the bankers, but they sign you onto their debt and then tell you how they're lazy. Incredible. Incredible. Incredible.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Alex Jones here with a message that could revolutionize health in this country. Going back about a year and a half ago, I began to learn about the incredible health effects of longevity products. Aaron Dykes lost 92 pounds. We're going to show you some before and afters. Aaron, break down what happened, your story.
I've worked really hard with diet and exercise to try to lose weight, but I just didn't get the results. It just didn't happen. Then I saw what you were doing with InfoWarsTeam.com. I wasn't even trying to lose weight, but I got it because I wanted to feel better energy. I wanted that nutrition. Didn't even understand how that could kickstart my own weight loss goals, but the products did that for me. I found myself suddenly losing weight, more energetic, wanting to exercise, wanting to eat the right foods.
And they don't even advertise it as weight loss. I want to challenge our radio listeners to go to InfoWarsTeam.com. Sign up as a distributor and get wholesale pricing discounts at InfoWarsTeam.com.